This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Number two of Live Bet Saturday, Mark Melusis and Will Hill with you. Let's hit the progressive guest line right now. Welcome aboard Quentin Mills, college baseball insider. We got the College World Series set up between Coastal Carolina and LSU, the finals. Quentin, thanks for the time this afternoon. We certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime we can talk college baseball, it's a heck of a day. So pleasure you guys have me.
Quentin, before we get to the side, the total, are you surprised this is the final? Is this the final you expected? I know, you know, some people are going to say LSU-Arkansas was a de facto final, and the way that final game ended was crazy. We got the Arkansas run with the no-hitter. But how surprised are you this is our matchup here?
I'm not too surprised. For me, I came onto the show earlier with you guys, and I said Coastal was my left side of the bracket pick, and then the right side was going to be your LSU-Arkansas. I think both teams were deserving on the right side. Obviously, we had those crazy antics from the eighth inning on, but I think anybody else on that side would have been the surprise. I mean, LSU and Arkansas, again, we could talk about being on the same side of the bracket was right or wrong, but at the end of the day, both teams were there. One of them had to make it. And so either way, I think it was going to be Coastal versus the winner of that game, and that's how it played out. So
when you look at this matchup, Quentin, before we get like what you like and, you know, what favors Coastal Carolina, what favors obviously the, you know, the uber talented LSU?
Well, I think you said we'll start with LSU, just the talent, right? On paper, they're just better, right? The SEC traditionally recruits higher athletes. Anthony Ianson and Cade Anderson are two of the best pitchers in college baseball, probably one of the best 1-2 combo punches you could have on the mound for a team. And then when you go to the Coastal side, it's a little different. A lot of these kids are undervalued. They've maybe transferred in, or they came there just as a freshman, maybe weren't getting the SEC or the ACC looks. And those kids play with a chip on their shoulder. And then when you give them a coach like Kevin Schnall, I don't know if you guys have seen the press conference, but he's just been so adamant on, you know, listen, we're not scared of anybody. We've beat Auburn on the road. We've finished 10-4 in the regular season against Power Four teams, and they do it by winning one pitch at a time. And you don't hear that from an SEC or an ACC or a Power Four team in an interview. Win one pitch, then you win an out, then you win an inning, and then so forth. And that's what they've really done, right? Like, to them, they feel like they're playing against themselves, maybe not necessarily the other team, and it's working for them. Hence why they've won 26 straight. So can't really knock their mindset there.
All right, game one, LSU minus 145. Coastal is plus 114. At DraftKings, the total's gotten hit here to the under. We're down to 8. What do you like in game one?
So I have 2. So it's untraditional. I am on Coastal side for a future. I do believe in this team to keep it within 1.5 today. Typically, I would try to hedge it, but I really believe in this team and how they operate. I have minus 147 on the run line for Coastal. And then I was able to grab over 8.5 earlier. It is down to 8 now. I like that even better. Listen, the wind has been blowing in Omaha all weekend long, all week long. It is a little stronger in today. It's consistently in the 20s, whereas the prior week it's been at about 10 to 12. But these teams have scored regardless without the home run ball. I think Coastal's hit 1 in the tournament. LSU has 3 or 4. Like, it hasn't been in years past where it's a home run derby out there, and they've still been able to produce some runs. Coastal's going to get theirs. Cade Anderson's a great pitcher, but at the end of the day, he's been blown up by several teams just as well as, you know, Coastal's given up runs to several teams. And the way Coastal bats, like, the wind's not going to affect them. They're a gap-to-gap team. They're going to get base hits. They're going to get hit by pitches, get guys on, and score. Same thing with LSU. LSU hasn't been their traditional power offense that they've had in recent years, but they've still put up 100 home runs, and they're still able to hit the ball. They have guys like Josh Pearson, Jared Jones, and some other guys that could really step up and hit a 2-run double or whatever the case may be. So even though you have 2 aces on the mound, 8's a super low number in college. When you throw in bullpens late and metal bats, anything can happen. Hence, we saw a 3-3 game heading to the 8th, and then the overhits last time LSU took the field. So,
Quentin, we talk about this a lot in the pros, right? Like, there's going to be an inordinate amount of pressure tomorrow night in Oklahoma City on the Thunder, right? They're home. It's a game 7. Can Indiana use that pressure to their advantage? Let me ask you from a, even though this is a neutral site game, it's in Omaha. With all the buzz around LSU, how talented they are. Can Coastal Carolina use that in this series against LSU, where everyone kind of thinks it's the SEC, it's LSU, we all thought they were going to be here. Maybe we could put a little pressure on them and see how they react.
Yeah, I think you could spin it that way. I think you could probably look at it as several ways. I think Coastal can use that as momentum to say, hey, we've beat an SEC team once. Everybody's doubting us. We'll do it again. But then also, they may not even be concerned about it. Again, like we touched about, they worry about one pitch at a time. And when you have that mentality, you're not worried about the other side, right? You're worried about beating yourselves. If you don't beat yourself, you have a really good shot to win the game. And I think Coastal does a really good job of that, of staying, maintain composure and just within themselves. And, you know, they give up a run or two here. They don't worry about it maybe as whereas other teams would. And then on the LSU side, you're almost kind of out of lose-lose, right? So you, the whole revenge factor of 2016 when Coastal beat you in your home stadium and to get to the College World Series, that's pressure, right? You got to come back and you want to beat them and right the wrong ship there. And then if you lose to them, you're an SEC team that lost to mid-majors. So I think from a pressure standpoint, you could probably say LSU has more to lose than Coastal. Coastal has everything in the game.
How will game two, how will you handicap it? Do we know who's going to start? Where do you expect the line, the total to open up here in a second game?
I think it's going to be similar to that 8-9. I think today we'll kind of determine with the win, are they going to push it to a 9 or are we going to start with 8.5 and maybe see it fall to an 8? Jacob Morrison is slated to go for Coastal Carolina, and then it's presumed that Anthony Ianson will go. He's been the number two guy for LSU all season long. Jacob Morrison was the Friday night guy for a while. He slid for the tournament into a comfortable number two role, just kind of how the format has played out. He'll be on full rest. Both pitchers, again, I talked about Ianson. Jacob Morrison is just as elite. The guy's got like a sub-3 ERA for the year, just around there. He's 11-1. I mean, he's the horse as well, and he has confidence. You know, Kevin Snall has instilled so much confidence in these guys. And when Caden Bodine's your catcher and he's framing balls that get called for strikes, he's one of the best in college baseball. Probably since Adley Rutschman coming out, you feel a lot of confidence back there that your pitches are going to be called strikes. So when you couple that, I think it's going to be another close game. I think the run line's the way to play here on both games. And maybe, you know, if you catch a low 8, again, I talked about these teams are going to score on each other. Their offenses are just too good. I just don't see 9 innings worth of shutdown baseball on either side. So I think if you catch a low number, again, take the over.
Quinn, do you expect this series to go the distance?
I do. I don't think anybody's going to sweep. Would I be surprised either way of a sweep? Absolutely not, because I think these teams are both uber talented. But I do think it does go to 3. I think Coastal is going to be able to get one. I think obviously LSU will get one. It's going to come down to my presumed starters of Riley Eichhoff and Cason Evans. But I think Coastal is okay with going 3. In 2016, they played Jay Johnson's Arizona Wildcats. They lost game 1 and they win the last 2. So, you know, if LSU wins tonight, I don't think it's really going to affect Coastal maybe as much as people may think, because they've been there out of the loser's bracket in a game 3 and done it before. So, yeah, I think it's the 3-game series. And I'll tell you, for ratings, it'd be the best to get an extra game for the season.
Yeah. The longer this goes, does this favor LSU because they're the deeper team, the SEC school, or not necessarily? You know, how would you project this? And once it's all hands on deck in a game 3, who would have the advantage there?
No, I think it kind of leans towards Coastal, right? Because you've cleared, if you're going to game 3, you've landed a couple punches against LSU's best and you've beat them. So to me, that momentum is, hey, we've done it once, we can do it again. So I think the pressure, again, I talked about earlier, is on LSU here. LSU really wants to sweep. Coastal has had a fresh bullpen all postseason long. They really haven't used them much. They're deep. I mean, anybody could come in for them and pitch effectively. And, you know, when I look at Riley Eichhoff versus Cason Evans, I'm going to put my money on Eichhoff. He's already pitched twice in the College World Series. He's comfortable on the mound. He's comfortable in the atmosphere, and that matters a lot. He's a senior. And then Cason Evans has been up and down. He's had some good starts. He's had some rough starts. So, you know, limited action here in Omaha. Does that kind of worry me? A little bit. Obviously, guys step up, but it's to be determined. And again, I think if it goes 3 games, that means Coastal's landed some punches and they have a shot to win it all again.
All right, Quinn, to recap here, game 1 tonight, 7 o'clock. Who do you like in game 1? How are you playing game 1? What do you like for the series?
I'm going to play the over. I think both offenses, maybe late, will score some runs here. They're just too effective all season long and in the postseason. And then I'm on Coastal plus 1.5. The line over under is 8.5. That kind of tells you that bookmakers are thinking it's going to be a close game.
And for the
Quentin,
series?
As far as – oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting on a future for Coastal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a Coastal future. I have a small future on LSU, so I didn't go for a series price knowing that I have a winner either way. So we're just going to enjoy it and try to ride out some of these over-unders and side tickets.
You got anything else, Will, or are you good?
I guess just in the last minute here, Quentin, any major league fans here watching this game, who are three or four prospects to watch for here that are going to be picked in the first couple rounds and we'll see at the next level?
Well, I mentioned earlier, Caden Bodine is probably the best catching prospect since Adley Rutschman, and that's saying a lot. And then Cade Anderson, Anthony Einson, Jacob Morrison, all of these guys have the talent to be successful in the major leagues. Obviously, Bear Jones Bryant there at first base for LSU just has so much power. Obviously, he's going to be a big draft pick for somebody. So I think those are some names that you definitely want to watch out for.
Quentin Mills, College Baseball Insider. Hit him up on X at Q Millie. Two Y's there. Quentin, appreciate the knowledge. Enjoy the series, which gets going tonight, all right?
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the games.
Thanks, Quentin.
You got it. Sorry, Will. Interrupted you there. I apologize about that. Jumped you. I jumped the gun.
Oh, it's all good. We're excited here.
Yeah, we got plenty of baseball to get into on the MLB variety. We'll do that next at Game 7 NBA Finals tomorrow night. Get into that as well. Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Live Bet Saturday. Mark Melusis and Will Hill with you right here on VSiN. Good stuff with Quentin Mills there, a college baseball insider. Is game one of the College World Series gets going tonight between Coastal Carolina and the uber-talented LSU. We got what Quentin's picks were. Will, do you have anything riding on in this series?
Nothing yet. I have enjoyed watching these games. They're fun. My biggest takeaway, every game I turn on, every pitcher, 95 plus, it's like, what is the future of baseball? If everybody's just going to throw 97, 98, like how do hitters keep up? How does anyone hit the ball? Quentin made a pretty compelling case for that over of 8, considering you got two good lineups here. I know it's two good pitchers, but 8's a key number because if it's 4-4, obviously they can't tie and the game will go over at that point when somebody's going to get a fifth run. So might play the over 8. So good little night here with baseball, College World Series lining up with the NBA Finals. It's, again, a transition period, but plenty of sports here to watch and to bet on.
Oh, no fun. It's been great. You know, I love, first off, you love the energy in college athletics, whether it be college football, college baseball, obviously college basketball. You get that. You've had, some great performances, great scenes. I mean, Arkansas LSU was fantastic. We saw the Arkansas no-hitter. And now you got a mid-major going up against, the big bad guy on the block when you're looking at LSU coming out of the SEC. Like everyone expected an SEC school. I remember, thinking or talking to people from college, focused on college baseball throughout the before this College World Series started getting going, and they said you would take SEC over everybody else. The expectation is that a team from the SEC is going to win the College Baseball World Series. We'll see if LSU can finish the deal. I'd love to see this series because I think Coastal Carolina is fun. I love the fact that a lot of those guys got chip on their shoulders, weren't being recruited by major Division I programs or SEC schools, and Coastal Carolina has turned into a really good, great baseball program that consistently goes out there and wins. So I think it's fun. I hope we get three games. That's what I want to see. Like, I want to see, just like it's going to be great tomorrow night, game 7 NBA Finals. Hopefully we get a great three-game series between LSU and Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, and I feel like college baseball, they could do a better job promoting it because it's a lot of fun. You get the prospects of tomorrow. It's almost like a feeder into Major League Baseball. There's great energy with it. It's, if you could promote it at a time where the NFL season ends, NCAA tournament for college hoops hasn't really started with March Madness, there is a little bit of meat on the bone there to get people interested in a different sport. And once you start watching these games, they are a lot of fun. So should be a competitive series, competitive game. I'm looking forward to it. The line looks about right. LSU Arkansas was obviously impressive. The talent both ways. That was a painful way for Arkansas to lose. The left fielder falls down, and just a terrible catastrophe of an inning. But should be a lot of fun.
Awful. Yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to that one getting going, and that series getting going with game one out in Omaha about an hour and 45 minutes from now. LSU, obviously, the favorite. Updating the baseball scoreboard right now, bottom of the 10th, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Cincinnati Reds, they're all tied up at 5. They stopped scoring out in Chicago. They're in the bottom of the 8th inning. Cubs and Mariners, the Chicago Cubbies, leading that game 10-6. At one point in time, the total was sitting at 22.5. We're in the 6th inning. It's down to 17.5, 16 runs already have been scored. Chicago up at the plate, man on, nobody out, leading that game by 4. Toronto Blue Jays just finished off their victory over the Chicago White Sox. So if you were on the Blue Jays side, congratulations to you. They won that by daylight over the terrible White Sox, 7-1 the final there. The Texas Rangers, who Will said he would lean toward Texas over Pittsburgh if he had to make a play, they're leading the Pittsburgh Pirates 1-0 in the bottom of the 5th inning. Texas on top of Pittsburgh. The Boston Red Sox trailing the San Francisco Giants 3-0. They're in the bottom of the 5th inning, powered by a Rafael Devers 2-run home run against his former team, the Boston Red Sox. And in a low-scoring affair, top of the 5th inning, the Atlanta Braves, who scored early 1 run, they're right now leading the Miami Marlins 1-0 in the top half of the 5th inning. They were a -158 favorite coming into it. You know, we're almost midway through the game. They're a -330 favorite. The total in the game is sitting, Will, at 5.5.
Yeah, that one run for the Braves is held up. Perez is throwing the ball pretty well here for Miami. He's a guy with a lot of talent, a lot of swing and miss stuff. He's got a number of strikeouts here. Has Perez against his Brave lineup, but the Braves haven't been able to do anything since. Holmes has done his part here. Marlins have had some traffic on the bases. I got all these games going on in the corner here. Marlins got a lot of traffic. First and third, nobody out one inning. I think first and third, one out in the first, and Holmes has pitched his way in and out of trouble. Cubs Mariners still wrapping up. This game is come to a halt here because this was very high scoring. It was like 9-6 in the fourth or fifth inning, just a ton of runs. And here we are in the bottom of the eighth, and it's still 10-6. You mentioned Texas, Pittsburgh. Texas with a 1-0 lead, although Pittsburgh is threatening, and I believe they just tied the game here with O'Neill Cruz at the plate. He reaches out, puts the ball in the outfield. Can't see if that's a hit or a sack fly, but Pittsburgh is drawn even, so decent slate here at 4 o'clock. We got some games. The Yankees won earlier, had a no hitter into the eighth inning, couldn't finish the job. That was a sacrifice fly for Cruz. So I don't know. What are you looking at here tonight? Anything you're going to bet? Does it finally end the losing streak here for the Mets at 7? Does it go to 8?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I
lose 8 in a row, right?
I could. Well, anything's possible. It's like you're at the roulette table. We joked around about it a little bit earlier, Will. Listen, I love Griffin Canning. He's been good this year, the Mets pitching lab. I also don't love the way the Met lineup is not producing any sort of offense whatsoever. And if you like the Mets and, you know, you're not even getting a favorable number. I mean, they're -116. The Philadelphia Phillies are -$1.02 tonight. The total in the game is sitting at 10. The expectation is that we're going to get a ton of runs down in Philadelphia. You and I both, habitate in Connecticut. We know it's very, very warm in the Northeast, and it's going to get hotter over the next 4 or 5 days. So, it's warm down in Philadelphia tonight. They scored 10 runs last night. I would expect offense tonight. Listen, if the Mets, I'll put it to you this way. If the Mets bats remain as cold as they have been, Will, they're not going to win tonight. The offense is going to have to lead the way because I think the Phillies are going to score runs off Griffin Canning.
All right. Well, Moose, his money is on the Mets. And if you want to know where the money's really going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. $9.99, Mark, pretty good deal.
That is a good deal, no doubt about it. Anything else besides the Mets and the Phillies tonight, when you're looking at the late games or the later games? You know, you've got Royals, San Diego, you know, that's a 7:16 first pitch, Diamondbacks in Colorado, Astros and Angels, the Guardians out in Sacramento taking on the Athletics, Nationals and Dodgers. Anything else that strikes your fancy looking at the baseball later this evening, Will?
Yeah, how about the Rockies, who have played pretty well relatively the last week or two? How about that total yesterday? I don't know if you saw this. That was the first 12 we've seen for a total all year, and you know what? It wasn't enough. It wasn't close to enough in terms of being high enough, because I think they landed on 22 runs. It was a 14-8 final, I'm pretty sure, with the Diamondbacks just putting up a ton of hits, and 21 hits, just crazy, you know, video game type of stats. And the weather apparently out in Colorado, out in Denver, is just as extreme here with the heat, the wind blowing out. So Coors Field, a bad pitching staff, a good Diamondbacks lineup, I think that might be another over. Anytime, and you talk about this with other sports too, anytime you see a total that's really out of whack, whether it's a football game, a basketball game, it's high for a reason. And it's maybe a little counterintuitive, but going over the highest total sometimes not a bad way to play it. I'd expect a ton of runs tonight with Arizona and Colorado again.
Yeah, I could see that. I like San Diego a little bit tonight. I know they're a minus 155 favorite, or this afternoon. Dylan Cease on the mound. Cease has not been great this year, pitching to a 4.69 ERA as they entertain the Kansas City Royals. But I would dabble with the Padres a little bit. And what is... Let's look at that division. When you look at overall, the complexion of the National League West is really, really good. The Devers trade, San Francisco is obviously better. They're on top of the Red Sox right now. But you look at the Dodgers, obviously the Giants, and you throw the San Diego Padres into the mix, who, you know, are, you know, 10, 11, 12 games over the 500 mark as we sit here on this Saturday, Will. That's a really great baseball division, no question about it.
Dodgers are a lock to win that division. I know lock's a dangerous word in betting. Dodgers are going to win that division, or not necessarily?
I don't know if they are. I mean, Locke is a little strong. I'll put you.
Who's the biggest threat?
14 pitchers on. They've got. I think it's the Giants. They got 14 pitchers on the IL, Will.
They had it last year, and it didn't matter. They just keep churning them out, and they go bullpen games, and Otani's a pitcher. Now they just keep regenerating. It's amazing they can't keep these guys healthy. And some of it is by design, where they take risks on, you know, high-risk, high-reward guys and figure, you know what, we're going to get 14 of these guys, and hopefully three or four of them are healthy by October. I think they'll probably win, but I agree they're not quite a lock. They're not quite as good as we thought they would be, even though they're still the Dodgers.
No, they're still the Dodgers. We'll continue the baseball conversation, get into a little Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Plenty to chat about. It's a Live Bet Saturday. Will Hill, Mark Melusis with you right here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, Will Hill, Mark Melusis with you right here, Live Bet Saturday, right here on VSiN, updating the Travelers scoreboard. Are you a big golf better, Will, or no?
I dabble. I got my heart broken last week by Victor Hovland in that crazy U.S. Open. Had him 60-1. Felt pretty good heading into the weekend. That was anybody's tournament on Sunday, and man, spawned with a weird trajectory, because we were doing the Live Bet show on Sunday. Just refreshing the odds, the top three guys, the top five guys, the top seven. It was Burns. It was Ortiz. It was Adam Scott. It was Hovland. Eventually, it was McIntyre. Spawn was not even on the radar in the conversation. He's a guy who was, you know, right in the mix after rounds two and three, and he was right there. He disappears, and then he comes back and wins the thing with the incredible, you know, shot at the end. So I do watch it. It can be very frustrating when you take a chance on these long shots and you get close but no cigar. It's a very frustrating feeling. But yes, to answer your question.
Yeah, I dabble as well. I was with you. You know, wonder why. I should have texted you last week. I was on Hovland as well. So disappointing with Victor Hovland. Felt good for JJ Spawn. What an emotional story. Guy from LA. You know, he was up at 3 o'clock last Sunday morning getting medicine because one of his kids was sick at CVS at 3 a.m. in the morning, then goes out there, deals with a weather delay, hitting the stick, you know, five bogeys in his first six holes, and then birdies three of those last four, and ends up winning the tournament by two. too, ends up being the only guy that finishes under par out at Oakmont. I mean, just an amazing story when you look at J.J. Spaun. And I enjoy the U.S. Open every single year. I dabble here and there. Like I was joking around with Danny before the start of the show, who's producing today. Like, I'm not like Dave Ross. Like, Dave Ross is out there betting like every single golf tournament known to man. Like, I'm not there, but I enjoy like the Travelers, which is, you know, up in Cromwell, Connecticut, going on this weekend. And it's got a pretty good field with Tommy Fleetwood right now leading that field. So if you're all over Fleetwood, Scotty Scheffler was the defending champ. He had a good opening round. Has kind of faded as the heat has risen here in the Northeast. He has kind of faded down the leaderboard a little bit. But I dabble here and there, but I was with you, Will, last weekend on Victor Hovland. Unfortunately, he went away with the raindrops.
We should have gone. You're in Connecticut. I'm in Connecticut. The golf's in Connecticut. We could have done the show live from Cromwell, Connecticut, live from the Travelers. Nice little road trip. Should have arranged it.
My wife and one of my kids is up there right now. They're having an unbelievable time. They're having an unbelievable time. My son Paul got a glove from Justin Thomas. They were there. Wow. They saw Rory and Scheffler and everything like that. They're having a grand old time.
Is golf, I've never been. Is golf one of those things you have? How much do you have to love it to be there in person? Because I could see it being either way, where it's awesome and it's a cool experience, or it's like, you know, I compare it to like going to the NFL or NBA draft, where it's like, I don't know that I need to be there for this. Which category does it fall under?
I would not put it. I've been to the NBA draft and I've been to the NFL draft. And I've been to the NFL draft where it was at Radio City, and I was at the NFL draft when it was in Detroit. The draft at Radio City was one of those things where it was like, I don't really need to be here. Draft was like a really cool experience. Like, that was fun. And I covered it, you know, and stuff like that. That was enjoyable. I don't think it's like the NFL draft at Radio City or the NBA draft. Like, I've been to the NBA draft at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. It's boring. Like, there's, you know, you're sitting there, they bring the picks into like a media room. You ask a couple questions, they move the picks on, you're walking all over the place. It's kind of, it stinks. I'd rather watch the NBA draft at home. I don't necessarily need to be there. The red carpet is cool. I think golf's different. I think it's fun. I've only been to a couple. I've never been to a US Open, PGA, Masters, anything like that. But I think when you go to some of these events, I think it's fun. Number one, you get to, you know, you're up close and personal. You get to, you know, see the golfers. You know, they play a very difficult game. They make it look very, very easy. And I think it depends on the tournament. I think the Travelers up in Cromwell is a really fun event, and they run a fun event. And I think it's a really good crowd. So anybody that's there, everybody that I've known that has gone to that tournament has nothing but glowing reviews saying how well it's run, how much fun they have, and how the course at times can be difficult for some golfers.
Fleetwood minus 200. Is Fleetwood actually going to win this thing? I was looking at it. It was like Friday morning or maybe late afternoon Thursday. And Scheffler, who we always know the number's shorter than you want it to be, is a better. Scheffler was already like minus 250. It was like a Thursday afternoon, a Friday morning. He's like, how can it already be, you know, this level of a favorite here this early in the tournament? So Fleetwood minus 200. I don't know. Can he hang on? I'll pull up the the score here. He's 1600.
Well, think about this. All right, but what do you think Scheffler's odds right now are? So on Thursday they were minus 200. Yeah. Right now on Saturday afternoon, what do you think Scotty Scheffler's odds are?
He's 9 shots back, which would be like, don't even look up his odds because he has no chance. But they're always shorter, so I can't help because it was already in front of me. He's 30-1. I know some people say, man, you can get a 30-1 on Scheffler. He's 9 shots back. He's not, famous last words, he's not going to win, I don't think. So I don't know. Is there anything here worth the bet, in your opinion, live?
A live bet. Well, just up to, so Fleetwood's, is a 3-shot lead on Russell Henley. Fleetwood's 16 under par. He's through 15 on Saturday, right? Henley is finished with his round. He's 13 under par. Keegan Bradley, Mr. Ryder Cup, is 12 under par. Jason Day sitting there at 11 under par. Denny McCarthy then at 9 under par. And then you got a host of others with Wyndham Clark, who apologized for what he did in the out at Oakmont for trashing, I guess, the men's room or whatever it was, the changing area, because of his frustration with the course. He's sitting there at 8 under par. I'll tell you, the only thing I'd be intrigued in Russell Henley at plus 450, maybe dabble a little bit. The more intriguing bet to me would be Jason Day at 16-1. As he's sitting there right now, and he is five shots off the lead. He's through 15. He's minus three in his third round. You know, Jason Day's been one of those guys, had a really good start to his career, then had a number of injuries kind of curtail things. Different. No doubt about it, he's talented. And look at the Travelers. Right. I mean, it plays to it. If it suits your game, you're going to have the ability, Will, to be able to go low. I think Jason Day right now at 16-1, being only, you know, a handful of shots off the lead, sitting there at 11 under par, that's, and he's not even through his third round yet, Jason Day would be intriguing to me at 16-1.
So you share my skepticism here that Fleetwood could actually close this and win?
Yes, I'm skeptical. I would not. Let me ask you this. Would you ever bet Tommy Fleetwood at minus 200 to go out there and win the tournament?
No. If you had Fleetwood, and I don't know, we'll find out what Fleetwood's odds were here before the tournament. Here's the thing, too, about golf that can be frustrating. You can have a guy 60-1, 50-1, these crazy long shot prices. Spawn was 150-1 in some spots. It's hard to hedge because you can look at, all right, I got this guy. He's in good shape. He's winning. I'll bet the guy who's in second. You see so many things where guys just come out of nowhere. The guy in second can fall apart. It's not easy unless you get into a playoff and then you just bet the other guy and it's clean. There's just not always a way, you know, to get a clean hedge with golf. So that can be frustrating too, well, when you get these long shot. Yeah, go ahead.
No doubt. And Will, you were on the air last weekend during the final round of the U.S. Open, right? So, it's Father's Day and this and that. There was a point where there were, correct me if I'm wrong, there were five golfers that were tied for the lead.
Yeah.
That's an impossible time to go out there and hedge.
It is. And you can end up losing more money and, you know, just digging yourself a hole thinking, all right, I got a hedge here. It's very dangerous. Unless you get into a playoff and it's clean, you got to be careful, you know, hedging your golf. But if you want to make smarter football bets this season, start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football special, the early bird rate of just $175 now through the Super Bowl. It's pretty good. Includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power rating, and season-long best bets. You'll also get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com. Don't miss the early bird special. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird special. VSIN.com/subscribe. Mark, have you made any football bets? Do you have any football takes here as we head towards a break in the last 90 seconds? Any football thoughts you want to get on the record?
A couple of things. I'm bullish on Cincinnati in the AFC. I think they've made some improvements, and I understand that defensively I'm massively concerned, but Burrow is one of the ones when you're thinking about a quarterback that can make a big time difference and negate a lot of the negatives when you're looking at the team. I don't think the Giants are going to be as bad as people think they're going to be.
Ooh.
Now, it's a very, very difficult division, and it's a very, very difficult schedule. I think the Giants, and they might – yeah, it's a very hard schedule. I'm not talking about them making the playoffs. I'm not talking about them all of a sudden win 9 or 10 games. But when you look at that win total, I'd not be surprised because I think that defense is going to be ridiculously good, Will. And the reports out of East Rutherford is that Abdul Carter is him. Like, he is, as long as he stays healthy, like, Abdul Carter has got a ridiculous closing speed coming off the edge.
Wilson at quarterback gives you something enough. I know Neighbors is banged up. I can't get past the schedule. It's so hard. Plus, I don't like the fact that Dable goes in lame duck coach. I think Dable's a pretty good coach, but he's an intense guy. He's on the hot seat. That part of it concerns me. But
I don't think he's necessarily such a lame duck coach. We'll get into that as well. We'll get into a little football conversation. Ooh, we'll do it next. Tease. Update you on the baseball as well. It's Live Bet Saturday. Will Hill, Mark Malusis, VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is
Live Bet Saturday. Mark Melusis and Will Hill with you. It just went final. Cardinals over the Reds 6-5 in extra innings. Game's going on right now. The Texas Rangers leading the Pittsburgh Pirates 3-1. They're in the bottom of the sixth inning. The Rangers right now a 4-1 favorite. The San Francisco Giants are blanking the Boston Red Sox 3-0. They're in the bottom of the seventh inning. And a game that Will and I were both on, the Atlanta Braves on top of the Miami Marlins 3-0. And they're in the bottom of the fifth inning, and Atlanta right now is a minus 1600 favorite. So we got three baseball games going on right now. The 7 o'clock slate will get going in about an hour and 20 minutes from now. Will, we were touching upon a little bit of football going into the break. You mentioned about Daboll being on the hot seat. I don't know if he necessarily is, or being a kind of a lame duck coach. I don't know if he necessarily is. You know why? Because they drafted his quarterback. Jackson Dart was drafted, and Joe Shane moved up in the first round to get the former Ole Miss quarterback because that was the guy that his head coach, Brian Daboll, absolutely loved. So given the fact that change was not made last year, even with planes flying overhead out at MetLife Stadium, and John Mara, the Giants co-owner, made the decision to stay the course with Joe Shane and his head coach and Brian Daboll, and then the head coach goes out there and gets his quarterback, and they move up in the first round to get back into the first round after drafting Abdul Carter third overall. I know that's a narrative out there. I don't know how hot the seat really is. Now, listen, if they go 0-17 this year or 1-16 and they look like an absolute doormat and poorly coached and the team has quit on them, well, then obviously that's a different conversation. But going into it, if you look at it and say, well, the Giants have a successful year, you know, they could have a successful year winning, you know, going 5-12, going 6-11. If Jackson Dart at the end of the year shows himself to be the real deal, the future quarterback, and he's the starter week one in 2026.
It's interesting because I think, like I said, I think Dable's a very solid coach, but it's tough to draft sixth one year and then second the next year and then say, hey, I'm going to have a third year where I'm, you know, picking in the top five or top 10 again, but I'm still going to come back here. He had that one playoff run, that one year where they got in the playoffs with Barkley, with Jones, they beat Minnesota. That was fluky. In a lot of ways, that was the worst thing for him because they paid Jones, they paid Barkley. That was a year where they should have been bad, just reset and start from there. And it kind of fooled them into thinking they were better than they were. I just don't know, in the nature of the NFL, can you get 3 years in a row of being really bad when you only have that one playoff year to bank on, right? Because it was 22. That was 22, the good year. 23 was bad. 24 was worse. Can you be in a situation where you've been here 4 years, three of them been bad, and you still get to come back for a fifth? That's just not how the NFL works. I get what you're saying about this is his quarterback. So I don't know. You brought up the two interesting numbers. If he goes 5-12 and 6-11, but Dart looks okay, is that enough? I'm not sure. And if they do start, and with their schedule, they could easily start, you know, 0-4, 1-5, 2-6. Does he even make it to the middle of the season? That's what's going to be fascinating for me.
Well, that's going to be interesting. I think he's going to make it to the point where Jackson Dart gets an opportunity to start this year, you know, and I think there will come a point in which the former Ole Miss star will start this year. We'll see exactly how it plays out. Obviously, you look at that division, very, very difficult with the defending Super Bowl champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. You got Jane Daniels and the Washington Commanders, and then you got Dallas Cowboys with Schottenheimer as their head coach. If Dak Prescott can go out there and stay healthy, improved receiving core with the addition of George Pickens, they address the running back situation in the offseason as well, and you've got a Dallas Cowboy team that some on that team are talking about them potentially going out there winning a Super Bowl. Will, has there been anything, as we mentioned it last hour, training camp right around the corner, mandatory mini camps coming and going, anything in the future, in futures for the National Football League that you've dabbled in that you absolutely love?
Yeah, and I want to get to that in a second, but can you see the Giants schedule? Can we leave the Giants schedule up? You have it in front of you, Mark? You can see it?
Yes, I got it. Yep.
All right, let's do the old something you're familiar with, the old Mike and the Mad Dog, give him a win or a loss. Let's just go through the schedule. You can decide, win or loss. All right, let's start. Are you ready?
Yes.
At Commanders.
Loss.
At Cowboys.
Loss.
At versus Chiefs.
Loss.
Versus Chargers.
That's a loss.
All right, so they're 0-4 at the Saints.
Win.
All right, we'll give them a win. 1-4. First, the Eagles.
I'm going to give them a surprise win. They're home Thursday night football. I'll give them a surprise win. 2-4.
I'll book that one for you. You can text me on the side. All right, at Broncos.
Loss.
All right, 2-5 at Eagles.
Loss.
2-6 versus the 49ers.
Home San Francisco. I think this is going to be a step back year for San Francisco. I'm going to give them a win.
Okay. All right, at the Bears.
Probably a loss.
So we're still at 3 wins. Then you got Packers, Lions, Patriots. How many wins there?
1-2.
Bye, then Commanders, so Vikings, then you finish Raiders, Cowboys. What are we going there?
I mean, you're going probably 1-3.
Yeah, and so you're giving them like, I don't know, three, four wins. The problem is if you start 0-4, it's going to be, you know how New York is. Can Dable survive an 0-4 start? He's a temperamental guy. You know, Wilson, Winston, it's a weird quarterback dynamic. I just don't know if, I just don't know. And I know you think they're going to be better. I get that. The defense, Carter, all that. I do like under 5.5. And I do think a sprinkle at 6-1 worst record just because that schedule, I mean, they better be better because that schedule to me is just absolute death.
Yeah, the schedule is awful. I mean, the schedule is awful. They need what they need in that first 4 games. And specifically, they need a tone changing victory like week 1 in Washington. Like that's what they need. Similar to one, like you go back
Tennessee
to 2022.
Yep.
Correct. Change the entire tone, tenor of the entire season to where then all of a sudden, like they go down to Washington and they get their doors, and Jaden Daniels is running all over the place and, you know, Deebo Samuel's catching touchdowns and, you know, they can't get after him and Washington wins that game by like 15, 20, whatever it might be, you know, by double digits. Then it sets the wrong tone for the season.
100%. And then that 2022 Tennessee game, that was, you know, indicative of their season because they went for 2, they got it, and they got lucky because Tennessee missed a kick and they end up, you know, winning the game. But to get back to what you said about, you know, teams I like, don't like, I think Arizona's going to be improved. I like their draft, and it's dangerous trying to sit here and evaluate drafts, but they're always pretty good on offense. I think Gannon, they've played hard for them. They've been, you know, a pesky team under Gannon, and they were 7th in the league last year in yards per play. Their offense is fine. Their defense needed help, and I think they got it. They get Sweat from Philly, and they just drafted defense, and more defense. They get Walter Noen. They get Will Johnson, the corner. Then they get Birch, the kid from Oregon, a couple Ohio State guys. I think they're going to be much improved defense. They could be, you know, 10th, 12th best defense in the league. If they're a top 10-ish offense, to me, that Arizona team is underrated. The West is kind of wide open. And if you want to take a shot on Arizona, and their schedule is pretty easy to start. Saints is about as much of a layup as you get. I know it's on the road, but that's a winnable game. Then you get Bryce Young, San Fran, okay, tough game. Seahawks, Darnold behind a shaky offensive line. He's still not familiar with the team. It's early in the year. Then you get Titans, a rookie quarterback. Then you get whatever, Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson with the Colts. So there's a path for them to start, you know, 4-1, 4-2. I think the way to play it is Gannon 20-1 coach of the year, because if they win the division, if they're an 11-win team and they win the West, they've got all the makings because they didn't make the playoffs last year. It's coach of the year goes to the team that just overachieves, comes out of nowhere. It's hard to make the playoffs one year and then win coach of the year next year. It's always, you know, O'Connell or somebody that's just an out of nowhere. It's the team that overachieves the most. I think Arizona can overachieve and have, you know, a 10-11 win season. Probably need to get to 11 to have a shot, but I wouldn't be shocked if they do it. I think this Arizona team is pretty good. I think they're underrated. I think Gannon is live here for coach of the year. So we'll, you know, we can get to that. Before I get to the read here, do you have any thoughts on Arizona?
I like that. I'm not as bullish on them as you are. I like I like the Rams a lot in that division. I got a future ticket on the Rams to win the Super Bowl at 19-1. That I really like Los Angeles this year.
I can see it. There is a new sports betting market in town, and it's called XCUTA, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. XCUTA is a sports Calcutta combining The adrenaline of live auctions and the strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own X-Cut auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event. Football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon, even your own local golf tournament. Create your own private or public auctions. Create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. Over 1,000 teams, players, and drivers in the database with ability for you to go add more. Free practice auctions now running daily at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at xcuta.com. And for a free month bidding subscription, email support at xcuta.com and mention VSiN. Xcuta, the future of future wagering. That's Xcuta. We will be back soon. VSiN, the sports betting network.